praise the Lord. You know, just good people. I do a lot of traveling throughout the United States and around the world. When you have the evidence that I've had of dying, you get to go everywhere. People want to know. You know, in places some of you wouldn't even think I would be invited to. I remember a few years ago, I was invited to a bunch of witches. You know, they wanted to know what it was like to die. You know what I mean? And they told me, it was interesting, they said, we want you to talk about your near-death experience. I never called it near-death. I was dead. Hour and 45 minutes, according to the medical records. All right? And they said, but we don't want you to say anything out of the Bible. And I went, and I talked to them, and I said, well, can I refer back to my spiritual book? This is Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I mean? They say, you can bring up anything in your spiritual book. Well, you know what my spiritual book was? The Bible. And then when we got done, they said, you changed our perspective on Jesus. You know, I don't know how many accepted Jesus if they did, but I know that they were not the same. That's Jesus Christ. I know sometimes people say, well, you got to watch out for that spirit. I say, I got the greatest spirit in the entire universe living inside of me. There's nothing greater than the Holy Spirit. Some of us got to grab that. You don't have to fear any other spirits because you got the Spirit. Oh, I could jump up and dance on that, you know, because I want to thank Pastor Gary for having me. I've hit it off with him really well, you know, and I don't see him in here. He's a pretty tall guy if you guys see him, you know. When I saw him, I always have to watch out for the tall guys because they usually give me a kiss right on the forehead. You know, they kiss you right there. I don't know why they do that, but they do. So he's in there thing. And then Amy and Clint, her husband, you can tell we get along pretty good. He'd be one of my running buddies in this area. You know, and I'm not faking it. You know what I mean? I don't have to entertain. Guess what I found out? You don't get me into heaven. Jesus does. And the same thing with you. You don't have to entertain. Jesus is the only one that gets you in. You were free, you guys. More freer than you can ever imagine. You know? I have several books out there. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you. They're $5. It doesn't matter which one you pick it up, just $5. You can pick up as many as you want. This book here is free, though. It's the one in Spanish. It's the same book as the In Heaven book I have out there, but it's in Spanish. I've heard people quote it back to me. I don't know Spanish, but people have quoted it back to me. I think the story sounds better in Spanish than it does in English. I'll be honest with you. I kind of think it's because this is a love language, and whether we know it or not, English is more of a Germanic language, more of the German language, but this is why. So I got this out there. This little book right here is my wife's book. It tells you what she did to get the results she wanted. You saw her up there, you know. She was the one that led the battle to bring me back to this planet. You know, I laugh about it now. You know, I wasn't laughing at the time, but I laugh now. I was with the Father and Jesus in heaven, you guys. I always tell people everything was right. There was nothing wrong, and I fit. I wish I could give that to everybody. I wish you could understand, you that are born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you. When you leave this planet, go with the Father and Jesus, you're going to fit. You're not going to be out of place. You know, I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and they have all kinds of protocols when I go and visit people. I don't know the protocols a lot of time, and I feel out of place. Do you ever feel that way, you guys? But guess what? The greatest place there is, you fit in. Is that good news? Yes. You don't have to worry about if you know the language. Doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about if you know the customs. Doesn't matter. You fit. You know? And this book right here just tells you what she did to get the results she wanted. You saw the video. You know, I show that video in schools. I get to go in your public schools here in California and show that video. I do it mostly in Napoma High School. I haven't done Aurora Grande. It would have been this year. I've done Santa Maria, you know, all those areas down in those areas, junior highs. I've done the boot camp you guys got pretty close up here, done that a number of times. Then I do Sacramento. I do a lot of schools in Sacramento area. A few years ago, God opened up the public schools for me to be able to come in and share this story. And then have someone, usually someone else, ask, how many of you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And we see hands going all over the place. Whether you realize it or not, God wants California. Bottom line, God wants California. And tag, you it. Seriously. Yeah, I'm serious. You here in California, you called. Whether you like it or not, he wants this state. He wants this state more than you want it. Do you understand? So he will put all the resources that he has, which is endless, toward him. I'm just letting you know that right off the bat, okay? So in saying that, so I get to go into your schools, which is not supposed to happen, and share the gospel with that video. And you see Jesus is all through that video in your public schools. So my wife, this little book right here just tells you what she did, get the results she wanted. She just didn't want her husband back on the planet. She wanted me totally healed. According to the medical records, 29 different things went wrong with this body. And you know what your God did? I like to say it that way. Yeah, I could say my God, but I want to say your God. Because I want you to understand, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. It's a personal relationship. You guys get this? You know what your God did? He healed all 29 different things in this body. And he didn't leave a residue. What happened is I had a kidney stone that was stuck on the right side. It caused a kidney infection. They gave me antibiotics to kill the infection, but I was that one person that I resisted the antibiotics. They didn't go back and check to make sure that I didn't have the infection in my body. And when they blasted the kidney, they pushed the poison into my bloodstream, and I became what you call septic. It's the third leading cause of death in hospitals. It's hard because everything is shutting down. And if you think about it, they give you medication for one area, and everything has a side effect, so it's going to make something else weaker. Do you guys hear me? Yeah. And according to the medical records, my heart and my lungs stopped for an hour and 45 minutes. I'm what you consider clinically dead. You know, Dr. Rigay, the man that was really in the room, that was the actual doctor that was in the room up there. And what did he say? He didn't say I was clinically dead. He said I was really, really dead. Okay. So I always tell people, I can prove I died. That's the easy part. You can say I didn't go to heaven, okay? But you can't say I didn't die. But I get to tell you something. I was born again. I knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I had the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me. When I left my body, I went where Christians are supposed to go.
Amen.
It's not unusual for Christians to go to heaven. You know? I say that for a reason, because people that have this type of experience, sometimes you guys worship us. You think, oh, you went to go to heaven? Oh, you got to see Jesus? Guess what? You going too?
Amen.
This is not a uncommon thing. This is the common thing for Christians.
Yes.
Somebody better grab what I just said there.
Yes.
Okay? I don't get you in. Jesus does. I had a person one time come up to me. I want to touch the man that went to heaven. You want to touch my flesh? And I said, my body didn't go, but my soul and my spirit. I told the person, you can have my body the next time I leave. I'll put it in a box, and I'll send it to you, and you can have it. Is that good news? This is normal for us that are born again. Coming back isn't, okay? Don't think I wanted to come back. If he asked for volunteers, I wouldn't have never volunteered. I would have met you in heaven. But he said to me, no, it's not your time. Go back. Just letting you know that off the bat. Don't think I came back for riches and glory or money and all that stuff. I was there where nothing deteriorates. I was there where nothing is falling apart. Doesn't matter what you give me on this planet, it is falling apart.
Yes.
You know? So I share that with you. There's other books out there. This book here, if you get one for $5, you get another one free. Okay? And that's mainly for you to give away to somebody. It's not to promote me. I don't get you in. Jesus does. Okay, just I keep on putting that out there because sometimes we want to make superstars of the people here. And when I was with the Father and Jesus in heaven, the only ones that got praise were the Father and Jesus. Not even the patriarchs. Do you guys hear me? They didn't get none of the apostles got praise. It was only the Father and Jesus. And I know some of you are saying, what about the Holy Spirit? He resides on the inside of you. He was there helping me to praise the Father and Jesus. God Almighty puts himself in the inside of us to help us to give him praise. Is that good news? You know, I use the scriptures to describe this story. I say 99% of everything I experience, I can find in the Word of God. You know, most of the time we don't see it because we look from an earthly view to a heavenly view. And when I had this experience, I started looking from a heavenly view to an earthly view. Now understand something. You don't have to have my experience to be able to see it that way. If you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you can see it that way. If you didn't know it, he connected heaven. Is that good news? Sometimes he shows you something in the Word of God. And I know what we do. Because we don't find it in the commentaries, we kind of doubt what he's showing us. Or we try to find it in the commentaries. Somebody better grab what I just said here. He wants you to know more than you realize. Okay? And I know some of you may say something, oh boy, I'm getting ready to step on a toe. Can I do that?
Yes.
See, when I got to heaven, many of the boxes I had were blown apart. Do you have it? I went to Bible college. I went to Welland Baptist University. I have a degree in pastoral counseling. Do you hear me? I have a theological background. When I got to heaven, many of the boxes that I had built for God were blown apart. But he didn't go outside his word. He went outside my boxes, but he didn't go outside his word. Let's go over that one more time. He went outside my boxes, but he didn't go outside his word. You guys hear me? Okay. Now, I'm going to say something, and it's going to cramp some of you. Okay? The good thing about it can cramp all you, all I wanted to do and you wanted to do, but the reality, as long as you know Jesus Christ, you still get to go.
Amen.
You know, because you're going to find out there's many things that you believed on the planet that didn't go with God, but it didn't matter to him as long as you knew him.
Praise God. Yes.
I'm not saying it doesn't slow you down to be the best witness you can on the planet, but it's not going to stop you from going to heaven. Is that good news? This is what I'm getting ready to say to you. See, for me to describe that realm, it's impossible on this planet. That's the eternal realm. This is the temporal realm. I try to do it with the five senses. I try to tell you what I saw. I try to tell you what I heard. I try to tell you what I experienced. I can't tell you what I taste, and I can't tell you what I smelled. And somebody say, why? On this planet, whether you realize it or not, you are smelling something that's here that's not there. And it's called death and decay, and it's in the air all the time. That's why most people don't like going to a hospital because they're smelling death. You know? Most people don't like going to an outhouse because they're smelling death. Seriously, you guys. If you're in it long enough, you get used to it. In heaven, there's nothing dying. There's nothing decaying. What does that smell like? So how can I bring that smell here? Somebody said, well, I smelt it before. It smells like flowers. Well, you can go up here if these flowers are real and smell them. You're still going to have to filter out death. I had one guy one time in Kentucky. This is a true story. In Kentucky, come up to me and say, well, I went to heaven. I remember what it smelled like. It smelled like fried chicken. And I said to him, you must have met the colonel when you were there. You know? So I use the scriptures to help me move past that. So if I give you a scripture and it resonates on the inside of you, what the Holy Spirit is saying, read it, he'll show you more. He'll show you more. Is that good news, you guys? He wants you to know it. The one of the scriptures I start off with is John, the 14th chapter. 1-6, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The only reason I went to heaven is because he said it. See, it doesn't matter whether I believe I go to heaven or not. If I'm born again, he said it, I go.
Amen.
Most of us in this room got to realize it's out of your hands. You're born again, you're going. Whether you like it or not, you're going. Is this good news?
Yes.
Because he said it. He said you're going to be with him. Someone said, well, it didn't say you're going to heaven. He said you're going to be with him. Well, where is he? He with the Father. Where's the Father? He in heaven. Get it, you guys? The only reason you're going is because he said it. Is that good news? Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is not a belief system. That's the way it is, whether you believe it or not. And I'm not saying it to be arrogant. I'm not saying it to be mean. It's the way it is. And someone said, well, that's your belief system. You know what I say? You'll find out. Because everybody on the planet is going to leave their body sooner or later. You guys getting this? When I got to heaven, Jesus looked at me, saw himself on the inside of me, and I was in. That simple. I know you want to work for it. I know you want to earn it. But to be honest with you, you accepted him, he's already earned it for you. You know why God wants us to do the things we do? It isn't to earn something. It's because we love him. You know? Jesus just wants you to do it because you love him. Anybody in this room, when someone does it because they're trying to earn something from you, you just really don't really like it. Do you understand what I mean? As human beings, we don't like it. So what do you think our Lord? Same way. He just wants you to do it because you love him. You know? I remember leaving my body. It wasn't bad for us Christians. I'm going to tell you right now, it is not bad. And the greatest thing about it, you can think it's bad, but even when it happens, it's not going to be bad. You can go up to the moment of thinking what it's going to be like, but when that moment comes upon you, you that are born again, it ain't going to be bad. See, I suffocated. I died the worst way I could have died. The one way I did never want to die, I died. And the reason for that is because I almost drowned as a little kid, and I knew what it was like to gasp for that air, and I never wanted to go through that again. I even would pray after I became born again to Jesus, if I'm going to die, don't let it be suffocation. And here I am suffocating. That poison had gone to my body, it hit my lungs, and my lungs were the first to go. And I could not gasp the air. You know what I'm talking about. And I remember coming to the realization, I am dying. That's what I said to myself. I didn't say it out loud. I said it to myself. And the next thing, it was, I'll be honest with you, I was surprised. The next thing that rose up on the inside of me. Because I hadn't practiced it. I haven't rehearsed it. And it rose up on the inside of me. And all of a sudden I said, I am going home. Joy, peace, comfort came all over me, you guys. Whether you realize it or not, you've already been prepared. You can go ahead and keep on fearing it. You can always think it's bad, but when it happens, it ain't going to be bad. Because you're born again. It comes with the package. I didn't know it came with the package. But it comes with the package. I didn't even know this came with the package. I didn't know it was that the body, I used to think it was the body died and the spirit left. It's the spirit leaves and the body dies. Bible says in James, the second chapter, the 26th verse, faith without works is dead, just like the body is dead without the spirit. Man became a living soul in Genesis, the second chapter, when what? When God breathed into him. You guys getting this? You can live without your body, but your body can't live without you. I tell my body every once in a while, if it doesn't act right, I'm going to leave. Seriously. I'm just putting it out there. I left my body. Some of you say, well, I saw my relative breathe their last. No, what you saw was their body struggling without the spirit. They were gone. Well, they died in a terrible, they left before it happened. You know why? Let me share it with you, scripturally, so that you can grab this. Okay, it's found in Hebrews, the second chapter, the 9th verse. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death. He suffered death. He suffered death. So that by God's grace, he would experience death on behalf of everyone. He died your physical death so that you don't have to do it. That's why Paul could write, there's no sting in death. Is this good news? I know some of you say, I don't believe it. That's okay. You still get it anyways. You born again. It's not on your belief system. It's on what he did. It comes with the package. I like what the 14th and 15th verse says. Therefore, since the children share in the flesh and blood, he likewise shared in their humanity, so that through death he could destroy the one who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And set free those who were held in slavery all their lives. Listen to this. By their fear of death. You get it any way, you guys. It's yours. Stop trying to work for something you already got. Did you hear what I just said? You know? I left my body. I went to be at the Father and Jesus. How long did it take for me to get to be after in the body, to be in the presence of the Lord? My Father wanted me to emphasize this area. I emphasized it a little bit this morning. But you got to understand about your prayers. This morning when we were singing to the Lord, you got to understand how this operates. When you give praise to the Lord, are you saying, are you praying? You got to understand that by the time you're thinking about what you prayed, it's already there. Here I am, leaving my body, going to be with the Father in Jesus. And how fast am I moving? To be absent from the body, to be in the presence of the Lord. Faster than you can blink. And yet the prayers that people were praying for me and others are passing me by. What did they look like? They looked like shooting stars. Were they shooting stars? No. A lot of times when you read in the Bible about those people that are describing something spiritually, they use the word L-I-K-E a whole lot. They don't say this is what it is. They say this is the closest I can come and describe what it is. And they use L-I-K. It's like this. Sometimes when we have our own spiritual experiences, I notice people will take that like and they won't have it in there. You're just doing the best you can to describe it. It's not that. That's the eternal realm. This is the temporal realm. How do you describe that realm in this realm? So you say like this. That's why John said like the crystal when he's talking about the crystal sea. You guys read it. You're going to see the word a whole lot in the word. They're doing the best they can. They look like shooting stars. They weren't shooting stars. What were they? They were the prayers that people were praying for me and others. You want to know why? This was, you know, you come back and you find out God wanted to hear prayers faster than you wanted. He wanted you there. You guys, why would that be? 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears, and his ears, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. He is literally waiting for you to talk to him. Is this good news? He wants to hear from you. And why was that? Because he created your mouth and your voice for him. Secondary, Amy, is for me and you. Primary, that mouth and that voice is created for him. You look at Genesis, the second chapter, when he created Adam. Think about it. There was no Eve, but he gave him a mouth and a voice. And it wasn't to talk to the animals. It was to talk to him. I'm going to challenge you. When you wake up in the morning and you look in that mirror, ask yourself, have I used my mouth and my voice for what it was created for? You guys hear what I just said? Another thing I came to understand about those prayers is they don't have a shelf life. Expiration date. Most of us don't realize that. Most of us are getting prayers answered that we asked a long time ago that we forgot. They don't. The scripture I use is Acts, the 10th chapter, when the angel comes to Cornelius. This angel comes to Cornelius and starts talking to Cornelius. This man, he was a soldier. I'm just telling you because I don't know if you know or not. Okay? 10th chapter of Acts. Remember that. Okay? And when the angel talks to him, he says, your prayers and your good deeds are a memorial before God. The word memorial means remembrance. You guys getting this? What I sense is a lot of us don't have a big memorial in heaven. We don't spend a lot of time talking to our Father. And that's what we were created to do. And you don't have to have the religious words. Is that good news? Just talk to him. You were created to talk to him. You know, if you say something wrong, he'd tell you. He would. He let you know, no, we don't talk that way here. That's good news, isn't it? You know? I enter into heaven. When I enter in, everything there is glad I'm there. Everything. Oh, boy, Lord. Do you really want me to go there? Yeah, he wants me to go there. Everything in heaven's alive. There's nothing dead. Everything's alive. It's intelligent. It thinks. It can communicate with you. Everything. I know somebody said, he's getting weird on us now. Okay. The Bible says this. I want to read it to you because sometimes we don't realize this. But the Bible says this about our God that I think is very, very, eye-opening. It's found in Nehemiah 9:6. So listen to this. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, along with all the multitudes, the stars of the earth, and all that is in it and on it, the seas and all that are in them. You, listen to this. You impart life to them all. And the multitudes of heaven worship you. I know it's outside of our thinking. He's God. So here I am entering into heaven. When I enter it, everything there is glad I am there. Everything. Everything. Everything's alive. There's nothing dead. Let's look a little bit farther. There are animals in heaven. They're alive. And they are communication. They can talk to you. Ready for that? If you look in Revelation, the fifth chapter, you have these living creatures that come around the throne and give God praise. The word really means animals. They come around the throne and praise God. If you read the eighth chapter of Revelations, you find out there's a bird flying around, an eagle, really. That's what the word says. And it's proclaiming things. It's saying things so everything can understand it. When I say they're alive, they're alive. Okay? If you wonder if your pets are going to be in heaven, yes, they're going to be in heaven. I didn't believe that. They were coming in on this side of me. Someone said, they don't have a soul and a spirit. Let's go over that. Ready to go over that? Yeah. Remember, I told you, scripturally. I'm not going to, and good thing about it, you can say, I don't believe it still. That's okay. You born again, you still get to go. And you know what the greatest thing about it is? I get there, you're not going to come and say, Dean, you were wrong about this. Ain't nobody thinks that way. It's not there. So let's go through it. Can we go through it? Okay. Think about it. Pets were created in the first chapter of Genesis. They were created what? To live forever. It's only because of a man messing up that we have death that entered into the realm. And all of a sudden, everything got to pay the price. But when God first created animals, he created them to live forever. They didn't go around and eat each other. Let's go to Noah. What did Noah do? He went out and grabbed pets. Our animals. Why did he do that? Because God wanted to save them. You read that in 6, 7, and 8 chapter of Genesis. You say, well, Dean, what about they don't have a soul or spirit? You go to Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, you read Solomon, and he said, wait a minute. You don't know where a man's spirit goes, whether it goes up. You don't know where an animal's spirit goes, whether it goes down. And if you study it out, it means soul too. I'm just letting you know. So they got something. Okay? We got Jonah in the 4th chapter of Jonah. He goes to Nineveh, and Nineveh repents. He gets mad, and then all of a sudden, listen to this. You ready for this one? God comes to him and says, wait a minute, Jonah. There's 120,000 people plus the animals. So God was out to save animals. My Bible says this in Psalms, the 50th chapter, the 10th verse, that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Why are we telling him how they operate with his animals? Most of the time, he loaned them to us to take care of, but they're his. And in Psalms, the 36th chapter, the 6th verse says this. God is the one that preserves animals. God is the one that preserves man. What does that really mean? The word preserves means save. And someone said, I don't believe it. That's okay. You still get to go. And when you get there, your animals are going to come to greet you in. They're going to say, you know you didn't believe I'll be here. You know, I'm just putting it out there. It's not a salvation question. Somebody better grab what I just said here. Because sometimes someone will come up to me, oh, you were a heretic and all that. I'm just telling you. I didn't believe it until I got there. Remember I told you he blew a ton of my boxes apart, but he didn't go outside his word. So here I am entering into heaven. All the animals are glad I'm there. You know, The atmosphere is alive in heaven. It's intelligent. It can talk to you. So what do you breathe? You don't take this body with you. You don't breathe air like we breathe here on the earth. Well, how do you live? You live off of Jesus. You just live off of Jesus. Bottom line. You got Revelation, the 10th chapter. It says the seventh thunder spoke. You know what it says? The seventh thunder spoke. What is thunder? Atmosphere. And if you read it, John said that he was going to write down what the seventh thunder said. He didn't say something sounded like thunder. The seven thunders. Is this okay, Pastor Gary? Did I do this? I know it pushes some people sometimes. You know what I mean? But you know, one of the reasons I do it, Pastor Gary, is because I want people to expand in what God can do in their lives. And if you know it's in the Word, do you hear what I just said?
Yes.
It's in the Word. You know? You know, I didn't go and look to find these things in the Word. I'm a Bible reader. And I'd be reading, even to this day, and I thought, oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. And I know sometimes people say, not everything that God has done is in His Word. And I would say, what is more harder to do, put everything in or out? God can do the impossible. To us, it'd be impossible for Him to put everything in the Word of God. But God can do that. Is this good news? Some of you just got freed up. You're going to be reading your Bible a lot more. Because it's in there. You know, and you're going to ask God to show you, and He's going to show you. He wants you to know here. He wants you to know. Is this, I'm serious. It's going to explode here. It's just going to explode. So the atmosphere is alive. When I got there, the atmosphere was glad I was in heaven. Is that good news? You know, because of the people of this church, I felt very welcome. Because the atmosphere was glad I was here. Do you guys hear what I just said? Because of the people in this church, I felt very welcome. You know, I could have stayed out in the courtyard. I was okay. I know I had to get up here and speak, but I didn't have to speak because I was already welcome. Is that good news? You know? Now, here we go. You ready for this next one? I don't know why God is having me push it with you guys this morning, but I'm going to push it. The furniture in heaven was alive and can talk. Let me tell you. Remember I said it's in the scriptures. The ninth chapter, the 13th verse tells you there's these horns on the golden altar. I know some would say that it's the horns on the, but they were instruments. And the Bible literally says that they spoke. I know that's outside of your thinking, but these instruments talked. You know? It's in the Word. If you go to the 16th chapter, the 7th verse, it says the altar talk. There was a table in heaven, and it said something. That'd be like me hitting this thing right now and say, stop! If it did, I know most of you'd be out the room. You know? Here's my favorite. You want to see my favorite? Revelation, the 19th chapter, 1 through 5. I'm just going down to the 5th verse. Listen to this. Then a voice came from the throne. I always thought it was God. I read this so many times, and I thought it was God. But listen to what the voice is saying. Praise our God, all you His servants, and all you who fear Him, both small and great. It was a throne that God was sitting on, giving Him praise. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. Is this good news or is this good news? So now you get it when I said, when I went into heaven and everything there was glad I was there. I always say it was like Jesus Christ went before me, told all of heaven I was coming. But He didn't do it the day I left my body. He did it the day I accepted Him as Lord and Savior. I've come back to understand something. You born again, you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you've been announced. And all of heaven's looking forward to you showing up. Have you ever been anywhere where everything's going to be glad you're there? You know, those family reunions, Thanksgiving, Christmas. You guys know what I'm talking about. Now, this is where I break with my colleagues that have had this experience. A lot of them like to describe more of heaven and tell you about heaven. I like to tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you why. No flower died for me on the cross. No color was whipped for me. No mountain was nailed for me. No spring or water or sea took my curse. It was Jesus. I came to understand something, and sometimes this disappoints my brothers and sisters, and it's okay. It's not heaven you want to be in. It's want to be with the Father and Jesus. That's what's drawing you. You want to be where they are. This morning I told them I used to always come back and say I was with the Father and Jesus. And people say, weren't you in heaven? And I say, you don't get it. Heaven's not heaven without the Father and Jesus. If you remove them, you have no heaven. You guys got to grab that. I wanted to be where Jesus is. And what did I do when I saw him? I did exactly what the Bible said you're going to do. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I didn't go on my hands and knees because I was being told to. I went on my hands and knees because I was before my Lord and Lord and King of Kings. I remember looking at his feet. I was looking at his feet, and I said these words, you did this for me. And what did I mean by it? The only reason I was there is because of what he had done. My good works didn't get me in, and my bad works didn't keep me out. You know? My Bible tells me everything I'm doing right now, I'm supposed to do what? Unto the Lord. It's him working through me. He's guiding me right now. You were in the service. He's guiding me to tell me how to talk to the people right now. You know what I'm talking about. Pastor Gary, there's times when you were up here and God is working through you and you're hearing it for the first time too, ain't it? I have too many pastor friends that say, I got to go home and listen to the message so I got to hear what I just said. That's the way he is. It's him working through us. You can come and pat me on the back. You can tell me this, but it's him doing the work. I tell people all the time, I have the easy job. I just do what he says. If he tells me to lay hands on somebody, they get healed. It isn't me that's healing them. It's him that's healing them. If I lay hands on somebody and they get delivered, it's him that's doing the deliverance. If I say a word that encourages you, it's him that's giving you the word. So my good works didn't get me in. My bad works didn't keep me out. See, I came to understand something. When I asked him to forgive me, in Hebrews, the 8th and the 10th chapter, it says this, when he forgives you, he forgets it. Most of us don't realize that. He has no remembrance of it. Sometimes we try to remind him, and he don't remember it because we have been forgiven. You guys got to grab what I just said here. I remember when he looked at me like I'd never sinned in my entire existence. Like I never, ever, 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 ever disobeyed him. You know? Because when he forgave you, he forgot it. And I know some of you said, but there's going to be a book, and he's going to open up the book, and he's going to show us all these things. In that book, where your name is supposed to be, Amy, is another name, and it says Jesus. When he said he took it, he took it. Is this good news? And this goes down to should I do the things I do? Why should I be a Christian? Why should I act this way? Because that's who you are. You're created to be a Christian. When you became born again, you became what? A new creation. And every creation of God acts in the nature that it was created. Every tree out there acts like a tree. Every bunny rabbit acts like a bunny rabbit. Every cat acts like a cat. You are a Christian. Act like it. Amen. And you say, I don't know how. Go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, start at the 22nd verse, when it said, the fruit of the Spirit is, and do that. And let me tell you something. You're not always going to feel like it, but do it any other way. And the results are going to be great. You know? After I looked at his feet and I said that, the next words that came out of my mouth was, thank you, 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 thank you. Someone asked me one time, couldn't you have asked him a question? You get to heaven and see what you say. You know? Every question you have that is important will be answered. And those that are temporal will never be answered. Does Jesus have a belly button or something like that? I mean, people... Yeah, a little kid asked me that question one time. He said, well, does Jesus have a belly button? I almost start crying. Because Jesus Christ had to have a belly button to be human, to die on the cross. That means, Pastor Gary, I've been trying to get someone to write a book called Jesus Has a Belly Button. and say why important that belly button was. He hasn't given me that responsibility, but somebody out there, this may be your way to write a book on Jesus Has a Belly Button. I think it would be a bestseller. You know what I mean? Seriously. Because it would describe why Jesus had to have that belly button for us. You know? So here it is. I'm looking at Jesus. And I say these words to him. You did this for me. And then I say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. No one had to tell me to thank him. No one had to say, it's time to praise the Lord. You know? And I look at his feet, and his feet love me. The fullness of the love of God was coming through the feet of Jesus. I didn't need to see another part of Jesus. People always want to know, what does he look like? I'm going to tell you right now, when you get there, you're not going to be worried about what he looks like. What you're going to experience is the love he has for you. The fullness of the love of Jesus was coming, of God was coming through the feet of Jesus. And it was like I was the only one he loved. I knew he loved others, but it seemed like I was the only one he loved. And I just remember thinking to myself, as I'm feeling that man, why would I feel like I'm the only one he loved? Because I came to understand something. It's not a blanket love. It's individually tailored made. It's individually tailored made. When you were created, God went out and created love just for you that only you could receive. When you were created, Amy, that God went out and created love for you that only you could receive. Everybody in here has tailored made love. That's why you could be in a service and it's going so great and it seems like, wow. And all of a sudden you look around, nobody's, because you're receiving your love. It's your love. You know? There's a lot more I could say. But I want to give some time for questions. Yep. Questions, you guys. You can tell there's a lot more I can say. You know? But we want you to ask me some questions. I asked this. I usually get four type of questions. Kids ask the best one, little kids. And the reason they ask the best one, because they say, you died and you went to heaven, tell us about it. Mm. Okay, I don't have to try to convince them I died and went to heaven. And they want to know two different types. They want to know what I saw and how much fun are they going to have. They just want to know if they're going to have fun, because sometimes we make heaven sound so boring. You know what I mean? Teenagers, they want to know if the power of God is real. You know, us that are adults, a lot of times I get questions. I built a box for God. I want to know if he fits in my box. Mm. And then elderly are usually, they're almost there. They just want to know how great it's going to be when they get there. So we're going to take a few questions. Five?
Yep. Before we do that, we want to take the love offering for Dean. We want to support his ministry. Those collect the offering if you come forward. Father, bless our brother Dean. Thank you for all you're teaching us through him now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Excuse me, Gary.
Yes.
If you're not prepared for this
offering. If you're not prepared, which of course, why would you be? You didn't know. So you can, if you give us an offering, we will get it to him, however you get that to us, okay? All right, yeah. All right, so. Who has a question? I saw a hand right back here. Teenagers, go first. Yes.
Yeah. Do angels have belly buttons?
Oh. Oh. Thank you for playing. All right.
What's your name?
Sean.
Sean. I'll be honest with you. I did not look to see if they had a belly button. Okay, and that's, you're the first one to ever ask that question. And I've had questions, but that's the first time someone ever asked me if angels have belly buttons. You know, I would say they don't, because I believe that you have to be a human being to have a belly button and be birthed through your mother, and angels were created, so that's a whole different story. So, but I didn't look. I say, hey, open up, let me see what's going on in there. You know, I didn't see that, so I could just tell you that. Some look like humans and some look like everything else you can imagine. The word angel means messenger. He can tell you, Gary means, in the Hebrew and in the Greek. And in the Bible, when it talks about the burning bush, it says, and the angel of the Lord spoke. And then it says God spoke, but he spoke through that, okay? But it was either the bush was the angel or the fire was the angel. You know what I mean? So you could go through the Bible, and you'll see a lot of things that God used as messengers. Yes?
Is the reason we can't find, as humans, spiritual life on other planets or in the universe, is that because we only see with physical eyes?
What's your name?
Rick.
Rick, I really don't know, to be honest with you. When I was in heaven, the only thing that was focused on was this planet here. If there's humans anywhere else, I can't tell you that, okay? But the only, I can tell you this, there's spiritual beings moving around all the time. Some are good and some are bad. I think some of these UFOs that we call UFOs are really spiritual beings that we don't know how to describe. The reason I say that is because if you go to Ezekiel, when Ezekiel's trying to describe that angel, do you understand what I mean? He says a wheel within a wheel. And so what does that look like? Or you go to when Elijah was having the servant open his eyes so that he could see, he saw chariots and horses of fire. And we usually put people into that chariot, but it doesn't say there was any people in that chariot. But that was the closer he could describe what he was looking at. Okay, so I really believe a lot of the things we see are really spiritual things that we don't know how to describe, and they're UFOs. You know, my brother works for NASA, or used to work for NASA. He used to be really high up. Matter of fact, he was over all the West Coast of all the things that went on in this area. I asked him one time, have we found intelligent life on any planet? He said, we sent a satellite up in the late 50s, and he said, we ain't heard nothing back yet. I'm just telling you what he said. Okay.
What's your brother's name?
Lewis Braxton.
Lewis Braxton. Yeah. I used to work for NASA too.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was over Ames. He was the deputy director of Ames Institute a number of years, and then also he worked out of Washington D.C. So.
Very cool. Very cool. Hands. All right.
Do they play sports?
Oh. His daughter's going, ugh.
You know the desire you get from sports and how that makes you feel? You'll never lose that desire. It may come a different way, but you'll get that desire. In the sense of competition like we have now, winners and losers, there is nothing like that because no one's ever lost in heaven, okay? But the desire or the pleasure you get from it, you'll still get. It may come a different way. So you can get up there and you can put your whole team together, but it's going to have to be made up of everything, not just one thing. You know what I mean? You can't just have all the redeem or the humans on the team. You're going to have to pick some clouds. You're going to have to get some grass on that team. Your trees are going to want to play with you too, and the flowers, and so.
And the Rams.
And the Rams. Yeah, that's right.
Did you hear his voice?
Did I? And when you say his voice, are you talking about the Father or are you talking about Jesus Christ, the Father? I never heard the Father talk to me. How he talked was thought to thought, okay? And I could hear it that way in the sense of hearing it with my ears, no. But no one's, how I put it, hearing it with your ears is not, it doesn't matter. Because once it comes in you, you experience it. It's like, you know how you have a drum or a bass or something and you feel the vibration? That's how you really receive it, okay?
Hands?
I'm not sure how to answer this question, Dean. I'm Donna. And when you're describing that, is the same way visually, like when you experienced Jesus visually, was it very in a large mass, like an abundance of him taking him in? Like it's really big, like huge, yeah. Like...
I like when you, because people ask me to describe Jesus, and when they do that, physically, I get overwhelmed. You know, my physical being gets overwhelmed because he's more beautiful than you could ever imagine. In heaven, nothing's old. There's nothing getting old. So everything, you look at it, and it looks great, okay? And the next moment, it looks greater than that. And the next moment, it looks greater than that. So how do you put that into what we do here on the planet, quantify that? It's hard to do that. I can tell you everything about me experienced him. You know, the five senses? The best way to describe it is when you jump into a pool of water, all of a sudden you taste the water, you hear the water, you feel the water, you know what I mean? You smell the water. All those things hit you at the same moment. That's how it is with Jesus. So, you know, you can say, but none of it comes like, this comes first, this comes first. And no, it's all at one moment. So you're experiencing him the full way. The Bible says we will see him as he is. Is that good news or is that good news? You know, and it's great. You remember when I on the video I said, you know, he's brighter than the noonday sun, and we can look at him. To me, that's one of the most profound statements I can say. You're right with him. You can look at him. In the Bible, there's two stories that I like to coordinate with this. If you think about Saul or Paul, when Jesus appeared to him, he couldn't look at him because he was not right with him. He was just a bright light. Look at Stephen or Stephen. When he was being stoned, he could look up in heaven and he could look at him because he was right with him. So you have the ability to look at him because you're right with him. Is that good news? And you will see him as he is. Oh, I want to jump up in joy. Because that's so great. You know, we don't realize the privilege we have to be able to see him as he is.
I see you.
Everyone talks about God being like a father figure and giving you compassion and love, but also, is God like a friend that you can just hang out with and have fun, you know?
Yeah, that comes from, you're good. How old are you?
16.
Yeah, you're asking an 8-year-old question, but that's good. No, I mean in the sense of fun. Yeah, he knows fun. There is no frown in heaven. Do you understand what I mean? There's no frowning. So you will enjoy life with the Father. You know, he made fun. So you will enjoy it. I don't even know. We kind of look at him as, because even when it says the Bible, the Father chastises, he does it in love. We look at chastising and being, oh boy, he just got, but he's loving you when he's chastising you. That's correction. Okay, correcting you and everything like that. So we look at it that way. And even fathers, sometimes we really don't want to do the correction, but we got to look the part. So we have to get the face first. Am I right?
Right?
Yeah, we don't want to really, but we got to get the face. But Jesus doesn't have to get the face, or the Father doesn't have to get the face. He can correct you and still be smiling. Is that good news?
Good.
But you're going to have fun, I'm going to tell you.
I'm going to get the teens up here first.
When you first went to heaven, did you meet Jesus and only Jesus first, or was it like everyone at once?
It was interesting because when I first came in, all the creation was there, and I went to Jesus. It was like I was focused on Jesus. It's like I'm looking at Clint in the back, and everybody else is here, but I'm looking at Clint. Do you understand what I mean? And I'm headed to Clint no matter what. So it wasn't that I could not have met others, but I wanted to be where Jesus is. So that's what, and then after I get to the point where I start looking around for whatever reason, then I can see everybody else around. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
But my focus was Jesus. When you get there, I'm telling you, there's a pull on you so strong to be with Jesus. And we don't realize it. When people are leaving the planet, people then realize how much of a pull Jesus has on you to be with him. And it is strong. I know us here on the planet, we don't like it sometimes because we're going to lose a loved one. And we're thinking, oh, we're going to miss them. But the pull is strong, I always tell people. That pull is strong, you know.
Beautiful. Anybody else? Okay.
She has a question right here.
Oh, did you?
Okay, so when you first, like, see your family,
yeah.
Do you, like, your ancestors and everything when they're there, do mm-hmm. they know who you are?
Yeah. They do, and it's not a knowing from visual. Most of us think it's going to be a visual, but there's no time in heaven. There's no aging in heaven. So, and people may say, everyone looks young. They look better than young because there's no pimples in heaven either. And so I always tell people when you get there, you're going to look good. And the next moment, you're going to look better than that. And the next moment, you're going to look better. It's always look, but where you see them is from your heart. Do you understand what I mean? You see them the way really God meant us to see people. We judge people from the outside. God really wants us to judge it from our heart. Does that make sense to you? So in heaven, there's a scripture in that talks about this. It's found when Jesus is on the mountain, he comes down on the mount, what we call the Mount Transfiguration, and you have Elijah and Moses that show up. The disciples or the apostles knew who they were. How did they know who they were? Jesus didn't introduce them, but they knew who they were because they saw him from the heart.
Okay, you said there's no time, which there is no time in heaven. What was your perception of that? Did you realize how long a time had passed, or was it just when they say God is, you know, I mean, was it always in the moment?
You know, his question is really profound in a sense, yeah, it is. You know, no one's really looking at the future or the past because it is. Do you understand what I mean? And I only really thought about time when I got back to the planet. One person one time, they said, according to the medical records, my heart and my lungs didn't operate for an hour and 45 minutes. Okay, someone asked me, was that long or was that short to you? It was short in the sense of time compared to eternity, but it was long in the sense of the knowledge I experienced. And then I had a person that, you know, those math people, they do things, and he's calculated out, according to the Bible, saying a day is a thousand years and a thousand years is a day. And he said, when I calculate this, according to what I calculate, you were there 90 years. That's what he said. Okay. I said five questions. I said, yeah, not 5 hours. But
just wondering if there was live music.
You know, that's a good question. The book I have out there called Deep Worship in Heaven, and that's what that's really trying to really portray is the worship music that we had with around the throne. I always say that everything in heaven was called to come around the throne of God and tell him how much we love him. And that's what worship really is. Most of us don't realize worship is just your opportunity to tell your Father how much you love him. And we come together to do that. And he literally hears you individually. And most of us don't realize that he sings back to us. That's why sometimes you feel the presence of God on you, because he's singing a love song right back to you, you know, when you're singing to him. Is that good news or is that good news?
That is good.
So in that book, I try to really get to the best I can to describe that, you know, and how that was. At the end of that book, there's the seven Hebrew words for worship and the three Greek words for worship. Only two of them really talk about music. The rest talk about actions. You know, doing something, and that's showing him that you're worshiping him. And one of them, my favorite, of one of the words, describe worship in the sense of when you make the motion to make the music, that's worship to God. So when the piano is playing the piano and they're pressing down on the keys, God looks at that as worship. The music is worship too, but the motion to make the music is worship. Is that cool?
You know what? We're going to have to make this the last one, but if Dean wants to, he's got a pressing schedule, so I don't know if he can, but we'll close with the benediction after this question, and Dean can hang around and answer questions for folks. We also have a class that's going to start here about 10 minutes after we close. All right.
So I was wondering how your experience... has changed your discernment, your ability to detect between good and evil, how does it affect your life so that you can live with integrity according to God's word here on earth? Like, how has it changed your day-to-day decision-making and all of those things, like what you eat, where you go to work, you know, what you vote for, all those types of things?
You know, it's hard to answer that question to the effect that when I came back, I was changed. My wife probably could tell you the dramatic change that took place. I found over the years, people that have gone through this experience, usually they end up in a divorce because this person is so changed, and I was so changed. When I was in heaven, I remember the Father saying to me, I would take care of my daughter. You know, so when I came back, I said, that's your daughter, you take care of her. It didn't go over well, you know what I mean? And the good thing about it, my wife was a praying woman, so she prayed through this. And then the Father said, no, I've given you to take care of my daughter. And so that type of thing. But the reality of it, she could probably give you more of the changes that took place. I'm on this side now. Sometimes she'll remind me, I used to do things this way, and now I do this. The biggest change for me is how I say Father. Before, I used to say Lord, I used to say God. When I went to be with the Father and Jesus in heaven, all of a sudden it was Father. And so I approach him as a father. And I didn't do that before. And I cannot not do it, because when you're there, that's what he is. He's your father. You know, And I tell people that one of the things I say to people a lot of times, he has chosen you. He just wants you to choose him. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't realize it's that simple. He's already chosen you. He just wants you to choose him. Is that good news?
Good.
So when you say that, it's kind of hard because she if she was here, she could tell you more of the details of how that took place, you know. And I can't. I just run with him. I just play with him. I just go with him. And I enjoy it. But I do say something that helps me be on the planet. Because the planet, you guys got all kinds of issues here. And there was no issues in heaven at all. And I tell people I'm on my way home. And I say, this is the pathway that my Father has said that I need to go. For you, I just came here. For me, this is where I'm supposed to be. So I'm supposed to meet you. I'm supposed to talk to you. And I really believe when Jesus sent me back, he knew everybody I was going to come in contact with. So I don't take it lightly when I touch Amy or give her five, you know, because I'm supposed to do that. That is part of it. And then when we get to heaven, me and Amy will talk about that giving me five thing because it's eternal. Is that good news? Mm-hmm. You know? And so I say that to you in that sense. So I don't know. I can't really. I'm on my way home.
Right.
But as Pastor Gary said, we're all on our way home. This is the journey he has put us on as we are going home. Just remember that. This is not your home. Yeah. Is that good news?
That is good news.
But don't leave earlier than you're supposed to because you don't want to be sent back.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yeah. And this man's heart is full. And Dean, we're grateful to God. This is the beginning of a long and wonderful relationship. You're going to be back here many, many times. And we're excited the abundance God's put in you and all that he's sharing with us through you. Father, bless this man's journey now. He's got some driving to do. We pray that you protect him on the way. We pray that you bless all that he touches today. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you all for your patience and being here a little extra. God bless you.